Hello, I'm Dov, and this is the Agile Tao with Peter Merrill, a podcast about the deep roots of agility. Each time we go through one poem of a book, a wonderful book called the Agile Tao that Peter has written, which tries, and I think succeeds, to refactor the book of Tao into agility and to understand what Lao Tzu had to say about agility from a modern perspective, from a modern language, from a Western industrialized culture viewpoint. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think you said that very nicely. I'm enormously excited about doing the poem today, apart from the fact that we've had quite a lot of conversation about it, starting from our very first podcast. This is a critically important piece because it links concepts that will come up again and again in a really simple and direct fashion.
Would you mind, before we start, to say a few words about what we're talking about?
Okay. So, we have had some poems that are about agile mindset, and we have had some that are about form and thought, and form as cycles. But here we're talking about form and function, and form and function are intimately connected throughout most people's ideas about design and architecture and so on. But here we're talking about the form and function of agility. And that's something we don't talk about very much. So this winds up becoming both something nice and concrete and pithy, but a critical connective piece between what we were talking about in Chapter 2, all about the duals of form as cycle, and the next piece, which is probably my favorite poem in the whole book at the moment, which is all about how flow turns up in a way that we can participate in. So it's I'm talking about this thing too much. I kind of think we should get into reading it and then taking it apart and putting it back together. Okay. And then all of that stuff will actually mean something to someone.
Agree. So dive right in.
Okay. Chapter 3. Form and function. 30 spokes meet at a hub. About its axis we turn the wheel. Clay is spun into a vessel. At its lip we sip the cup. Bricks are stacked into a chimney. By its hearth we warm the house. Every form that encloses functions by opening. Agility opens the self to serve, not command, and sustain, not control, the form of harmony.
Okay. Lots of images there.
I got one thing you're not going to like, I've got to say up front, because I know you don't want to talk too much about the, you know, this is from this chapter and this is from that chapter and the history of the work and so on. But the two parts of chapter 3 here, they come from two chapters. One, the first part comes from chapter 11 in the traditional layout, and the second from chapter 10 in the traditional layout. And they so obviously go together. There's no other place these things can go. But they're chopped up because the original poem was carved into bamboo slats tied together with string, and you know, would be given to a nobleman who would sling it into his basement. Maybe one or two generations later, somebody would discover it was there. Here's the wisdom of the ages, or it wasn't necessarily the wisdom of the ages, but they would think of it that way. He was, you know, we can become immortal. We'll read this thing and we'll become gods. And they'd get their scribes to piece it back together again, but the string would have rotted and it got all jumbled up. And then it was later on taken apart and put back together by numerologists. So actually finding these kinds of relations and discovering, hey, actually, this stuff really hangs together tightly. It needs to be together. That doesn't exist in any other version of the Lao Tzu. So this is one of those poems that really delights me, because once I found that correspondence, it's so pithy, it's so beautiful that, okay, I rediscovered something that's been lost for a long time. So it's the sort of thing that thrills me in doing this work.
Yeah, when I read the original book, the second part talked about empty rooms that are connected.
That's somebody trying to make sense of stuff that simply doesn't connect to the first half of the poem. Now, the first half of chapter 10 is now in chapter 8 of this version, and it fits very nicely there too.
Okay, so we'll get
it's a
to
jigsaw
that.
Puzzle. You have to put it back together again. You can't just polish the pieces.
Okay. And again, what does it talk about?
Well, do you want to go line by line?
Yes, let's go line by line.
Okay. So, 30 spokes meet at a hub. About its axis, we turn the wheel. So, the 30 spokes meet at a hub, this is the form of the wheel. It's not the function. The turning is the function. We're turning about an axis, about a hole, about an empty space. Then clay is spun into a vessel. At its lip, we sip the cup. So we have this clay, we're pounding it into a vessel, turning it into a vessel. But now we have the function. And again, it's about the emptiness, the opening, is where the function exists. And bricks, which seem like very concrete things, well, I guess they are sometimes literally concrete things, they're stacked into a chimney. By its hearth, by the fireplace, we warm the house. And this is a really lovely thing too, because there's a cycle here. You bake the bricks in the hearth. There's something generative about this function that's generating the form itself. It brings us back into the cycles that we were dealing with in chapter 2. Then we get to the second part of this, which is really drawing the conclusions and relating this to the fundamentals that we're talking with in the Agile Tao. Every form that encloses, forms have to contain. That's, if we look at, say, G. Spencer Brown, where he defines distinctions as perfect containment, perfect continence. Every form that encloses functions by opening. There has to be some transformative function to a form, otherwise the form itself has no function. So agility as a form opens itself to serve, not command, and sustain, not control. So we often say command and control has very little to do with agility. We talk about servant leadership, to serve and sustain. To serve and sustain instead of to command and control. To sustain, we talk about sustainable pace. We talk about business throughput in a business agility context. We want to sustain, we want to grow. So rather than command and control, which is very focused on trying to maintain some kind of ego-driven approach to the work, here we're talking about eco-driven, something where it's about the mutual benefit in the business or in doing the work together in the collaboration. So to serve, not command, and sustain, not control, the form of harmony. Harmony in the sense of mutual benefit, the relations, the flowing relations of that are mutually beneficial to the people who are involved in the business stream or in the team in the stream. That fostering an environment where collaboration can be generative, can lead to prosperity, to growth of business throughput, to exponential growth, that's this harmony. Harmony is not something where you can say, oh, well, you people will all be harmonious now. I command it. These people are not being harmonious. I need to take corrective action. I'm going to have to control them so that they will behave in a... that's not going to work very well. We talked about that in chapter 44, that this idea of a transformation, we are going to have a big campaign, we will win, we will become agile, we'll be victorious, is missing the point. That the point has to do with the learning ecosystem that we build, in the organization that enables it to continuously respond to changing conditions, changing market conditions, changing technology conditions, in such a way that we're fostering continuous, harmonious growth. That's what business agility sets its sights on. And if we think about agile teams, then that has to be the function, is to achieve that. So the form of harmony, harmony with the market, harmony with the other teams in the stream, harmony with the other streams in the organization, the flow of harmony.
One question I ask myself is, what is the form of agility? So you talk here about the function of agility, but what can you say about the form of agility?
So we kind of have that to an extent, metaphorically, in what we're dealing with in the early part of the power. But we'll see much more about it in the second part, where this part, the second part, which we're about to, because we keep swapping from part one to part two to part three and then back again. The second part is all about the form of agility, and we've talked about mindset, and we've talked about embracing change and so on. And that all goes to the form of agility. But if we bring it back to the first part of this poem, 30 spokes meet at a hub. We have some numbers that are important to us when it comes to a self-organizing team. 30 is not one of those numbers. It doesn't matter. Here we're talking about wheels, but if we think about the people who are involved in a team working together, rotating around this thing we call the code base, which is essentially unfinished, essentially an opening for them to add features. It's the hole in the middle of the wheel. Then we talk about an agile life cycle or a business agile life cycle. We talk about it in terms of self-organizing teams and the kinds of things they do on a regular basis. They have stand-ups, they have quality circles, they have retrospectives. We talk about the way that we would get as self-managing stream to get the representatives of those circles or chapters to come together, and they would have a repeating cycle of their own. The wheel. So then we've got clay is spun into a vessel, and at its lip we sip the cup. The flow we talk about in a lean sense, and we have all these metrics to do with flow, but we're pulling the work, we're sipping the cup. Because if we try to swallow everything in the cup, almost try to push the work, well, we make a terrible mess, and worse than that, we're not going to get an orderly, sustainable flow. And then bricks are stacked into a chimney, and by its hearth we warm the house. We talk about the code. We have to refactor it in such a way that it is going to maintain a steady flow of business throughput that's going to sustain us. But more than that, the idea that we will roast bricks in the fireplace, in the hearth, in the oven, that we built out of bricks, that we'll make more bricks out of this. This is the closest thing that we could get to software 3,000 years ago. So this idea of merciless refactoring is kind of baked into, and I'm using that term advisedly, is kind of baked into this idea of by the hearth we warm the house. Because the house is everybody who's involved in doing this work of cooking, of building. The code is actually serving us. The code is the design. It is the tangible aspect of what we are doing, but really it is the flow that we're talking about, the cycle, that's critical to the form of harmony. So when it comes to the form of agility, I think there's plenty in that. But we when it comes to, okay, yeah, but how do I actually do it? That's where we get to part two. We have more coming up on that at the front.
Two thoughts I have about this. One is that the form is not as important as the function. There's a lot of ways to build a cup. If you keep in mind that what you want at the end is to sip tea from it, then you can build it from clay, you can build it also from other stuff. it's not the form that matters, yes. It's the end of it. If you want to warm the house, I don't know if what you need to do is to necessarily do a chimney, build a chimney. And also, one interesting thought I had about when you read this is the bricks can be perfect. If you don't build them into a chimney, you won't have a chimney. And this is something I saw in a lot of organizations where something is put in place, some process is put in place in a team or in a sub, a part of the organization. And at the end, it doesn't serve any purpose because the whole building is not there.
Absolutely agree. If we don't have an ability to generate the function, the form itself is useless. We often see this when people get very excited about user stories, and they've got these long backlogs of user stories. But they're not applying Yagni, they're not applying Merciless Refactoring, they never reprioritize the stories. They build a backlog and it stays the same for months and months because it's so difficult to get the stakeholders to buy into reprioritizing to open the business bottleneck and so on. Without doing the function, I agree with you, the form itself is not very important. However, the reason for the form is it enables the function. Without the spokes, we cannot have turning the wheel. And yes, we could build a wheel out of some other components, but we're still going to wind up with a hole in the middle. It has to go around. But you can make a cup out of things other than clay, but you still have to make it. Otherwise, the water is going to fall on the ground. And you don't need the bricks to make a chimney. However, you do need to make a chimney. And if you have something where there's a cycle that actually then helps you to generate. So, for example, when you're turning the clay, well, you're going to need water to smooth the clay, and that's going to be in a cup, and so on. So the self-propagation, self-organization is kind of implicit in this too. So I agree with you that, yes, you can do without the form, but you can't do without any form.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. I mean, you don't, a lot of times people get stuck into a certain form. They say, I can't build a cup because I don't have clay, if you want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes clay is not the most optimal way to build a cup. Perhaps a metal cup will serve you better because you need something stronger. I don't know. Right?
I certainly agree.
Great. One other thing I wanted to say about this is on a very concrete level, because for me, at the end, we talk about agility, but the whole poem talks also about functionality. Like it addresses the product owner, if you want. It addresses someone who should focus on what do we want to change in the world. And it talks about how to focus beyond the how at the for what effect. So it's not only about agility. It's for me, it's a poem dedicated to a product owner, if you want.
I think it might be dedicated to product excellence. But whether you need a product owner, I think it's a little bit like your idea that maybe you don't need to have clay for a cup. The idea of a product team that comes out of Lean UX, we apply in Xscale. I don't like to talk about Xscale because it's not about branding things, but we have this pattern language for leadership as a service, which is all about how do we bring together business stakeholders, design stakeholders, and technical stakeholders like the spokes of a wheel so that they can have that function shared. And they can make consensus decisions. They have a motivation to make consensus decisions to generate that function. And that motivation is self-organizing. I love all of that stuff as praxis. But I think here we have something that is more fundamental, the relationship between agility and self-organization or harmony, however you want to call it. Here we call it harmony because it seems to fit. Self-organization has too many syllables.
Okay, so perhaps instead of a product owner, let's say product ownership.
Or product excellence, or product leadership, or product management, or whatever suits you.
Yeah, great. Let's almost finish by going through the poem again.
and I will try and do my sober Richard Burton version. Chapter 3, Form and Function. 30 spokes meet at a hub. About its axis, we turn the wheel. Clay is spun into a vessel. At its lip, we sit the cup. Bricks are stacked into a chimney. By its hearth, we warm the house. Every form that encloses functions by opening. Agility opens the self to serve, not command, and sustain, not control. The form of harmony. I realized something in reading it there, just by the way. The mention of self here is important too, because this idea of moving away from something that is a collection of people who are each competing in an ego-driven way to get things done, and you have a manager who is saying, well, you know, you did this faster than that person, so I will praise you, I will punish them. All of that stuff, that's not what this is about. Opening the self so that we can collaborate. When you see a high-performing agile team, when you see people who really are doing this stuff properly, there is a buzz. There's a rapid flow of learning. It's constantly going on between them. It is a beautiful experience to take part of, and it's a beautiful experience to coach and to observe, because they turn each other on. So that opening of the self, that goes to the form of a chip.
Beautiful. And the last question that I always like to pose, we already answered it more or less, but perhaps we have a different answer. Who do we want to focus on today? Who is the person that drives behind the wheel or takes the public transport to work this morning?
Maybe the Scrum Master.
Great. So there's a Scrum Master that is on the way to work. Or perhaps, you know, even better, there is a Scrum Master who read this poem with the team. So the Scrum Master said in the retrospective, listen, I found a nice podcast and I would love you to hear all of it. And they heard all of it.
Yeah.
What do they take out of this? How will they change their behavior or their viewpoint in the next sprint?
So let's say that they are sitting there and they're looking at their Scrum Master and going, okay, well, are you commanding us? Are you controlling us? I mean, is the product owner commanding us? Why are we not talking about things that are more to do with collaboration? You know, when we have Scrum with a set of guidelines, people go and they take their two-day course and they come back and they're called a master. And when you're called a master, people will start to think that they are your servants. This seems to be the wrong angle. Ward Cunningham, who was one of the originators of extreme programming, and Ward is one of the signatories in the manifesto, and he was one of the fundamental movers of the patterns movement, and Ward recreated the world's first wiki, and so on. Ward is he's often called old growth in the Silicon Forest. Ward said that agile is 80% collaboration and 20% bookkeeping. This idea of harmony, that we have a bunch of people who are turning each other on to really experience the joy of generating and accelerating exponential business stream. We talk about customer satisfaction, but if you're not acquiring more customers or activating them, retaining them, all of the pirate metrics that go with this stuff, there's not an awful lot of joy in that, because your business will run out and you won't have a very good time. That being involved in those high-performing, not just teams, but business streams, is all about the flow of learning and collaboration in the form of harmony. So I would think that they would listen to this and go, oh, maybe we're worrying too much about the bookkeeping.
Okay, and just for the curious listener, this time we said, you mentioned mainly, a lot of terms that come out of a thing called Xscale, which you created and in which both you and me are involved, like pirate metrics, like the leadership as a service. perhaps we'll dedicate one chapter to talk about where these two merge. But for now, I would love to thank you for this chapter, and also to thank the wonderful musicians who wrote the music that accompanies us, and invite the listeners to write us stuff, to tell us what did you think about this chapter, about the whole idea of merging the Tao movement, the Tao ideas into the agility movement, let's say. Write to us, and I hope to see you all next time. And you too, Peter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.